you please join me in a spirit prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today I'm going to preach on one specific verse from the lesson in 1 Samuel, which I will read to you now. It's verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." That's it. God's looking in your heart right now. So I gave today's sermon a fairly cliche title, "Don't Judge Books by Their Covers." And I suspect most of us learned that one when we were little. But a good dust jacket can make a book more compelling. If you're in a bookstore and a book has a nice cover, you're more inclined to look at it and pick it up and maybe read the blurbs inside. And then maybe you actually start reading the book and then you want to take it away. But the dust jacket does not tell you how good the writing is. The dust jacket does not tell you whether there's a compelling analysis or a really engaging story in that book. You need to get to know the book better. So what does it mean that God does not judge us by our outward appearances? The story from 1 Samuel is pretty clear on that. Saul had become king of Israel, you may remember, back when the people demanded a ruler. They already had a king, God, but they wanted a real king, as they saw it. A king like all the other nations. They wanted someone who could lead them in battle. They wanted someone who looked good on a reviewing stand. They wanted someone who could fulfill their fantasies. But what did Samuel tell them about a king? He said, if you get a king, be prepared for that king to take your sons to serve in the army, for your daughters to serve in his house, for him to tax you, for him to do all of these things you don't want. A king will be a burden to you. And the people said, no, 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 we still want a king. And so God relented, and they were given Saul. Now, it's a little interesting to hear, given that tense beginning between Saul and Samuel, that when Saul dies, Samuel is grieving him. That's what Scripture tells us. And in what seems to be an unflattering portrayal of God, God essentially says to Samuel, I'm done with him. Move on. I suspect there's a bit of projection going on the part of the author to God. We often impute motives to God that are our own and not the Lord's. And that's dangerous. So God doesn't need to worry about our appearances. God doesn't really care about how we dress. As I've said before, God doesn't care what we look like. God doesn't care what skin color we have. God wants to know what's going on inside. But that brings me back to something I said last week. A question: isn't God omniscient? Shouldn't God have known Saul was going to turn out to be a suboptimal ruler? I don't know. I think that our exercise of free will has something to do with it. So yes, God can be all-knowing, but God doesn't have to be all-knowing. God has given us free will. We have the ability to make choices in our life. And the choices we make are not foretold. So think about what happens here when Samuel goes to Bethlehem and he wants to meet the new king, whose identity he does not know. What's God up to here? He asks Jesse to bring out his sons. And Jesse brings out all of his boys, except for the outsider, David, who's out in the field tending the sheep. And Samuel looks at each of the boys, thinking at first that Eliab might well be the designated successor to Saul. God says no. And then he goes through all the boys, and they're all rejected. And then Samuel asks Jesse, are these all of your sons? And Jesse seems to be a father of the old school. Well, there is one more, he says. There's David. He's out in the fields taking care of the sheep. And clearly this pun was not meant to be used because the Bible is written in Hebrew and not in English. But David was an outsider. And David, the outsider, was asked to come in and upending everything people knew about inheritances and primacy orders in the ancient world. David was the man that God wanted. So we see, though, that there is a falling back on old stereotypes, because we're told that David had lovely eyes and a ruddy complexion, that he was handsome. I don't think any of that stuff mattered to God. God does not care how we look on television. God does not care how our images would appear on a campaign poster. God does not care how we would do on a debate stage. God cares what we do, period. So this is going to be a pretty short message today, because there isn't much more to say than God is looking in our hearts. And yes, we might want to think we could pull fast ones on God, that maybe somehow we can get away with stuff. But think about times when you may have tried that in your own life. The odds are you were sooner or later found out. Your parents are not God, as much as they like to think they are. Yet your parents usually can figure out that you were pulling a fast one on them. Your work colleagues, your friends, people are on to us. God is on to us. So what does it mean to have God behaving like the NSA? God is not the National Security Agency. God is not looking to catch us out doing wrong. God is hoping that we will rise to the occasion. David, clearly the greatest action hero figure in the Hebrew Bible, rose to be the great king of Israel, still proved to be a disappointment. And David was not allowed to build the temple, which he wanted to do. Yet, David was still the forebear of Jesus, according to the New Testament. God works with us as we are. And yes, you may feel that you've sinned, that somehow you're not worthy. But you don't need to make that judgment. God will do that for you. Now, that doesn't mean you should say, okay, I'm off scot-free. Frustratingly, God expects a lot of us, each of us, and all of us. So today is Father's Day, it's also Shelter Sunday, and it's Chips Run Sunday. And you may have noticed the road race going on outside, and Skip Matthew was a member of our church long ago. And that's the kind of life we should be leading, something that people want to honor. Being good people. Now, that shouldn't be hard for you all. You're here at church. But you remember that you're no better than anybody else. Because you and I have sinned just as much as the next person. The church has been described as a hospital for sinners. But to get better, to be healed, we need to acknowledge that we need to be healed. So it's a good first step you're here today. And my hope is that you will remember that God is looking into your heart and that your lives will be shaped accordingly from here on out. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from it. We thank you for giving us the strength to apply them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.